And now some important words from our compliance department.
David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. The views and advice expressed by David Holland and guests are general in nature. No statements or opinions given during this radio program are to be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not to be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after a thorough analysis of an individual situation, an engagement of services to be offered, and only in states where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. And now for the man who doesn't preach about cutting up credit cards, doesn't waste your time talking about which razor blades to buy, won't tell you to sell everything you own and buy gold, or ever use big words to impress you and talk over your head. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, David Holland.
I'm hoping St. Peter doesn't call any soon, because I do have some 16 tons to load here. A lot going on. Let's get right to it with
the fastest 5 minutes in finance with Scott Connor.
You like how I jump right in there? No pretense, no blather, just straight to business.
Hey, there's a lot to talk about.
All right, let's get to it.
Thursday's market, another kind of boring one. A little bit of a different direction. The Dow was down 21 points, S&P down 7 points, NASDAQ down 13 points. Gold continuing its run up 20 points. Oil just about flat at 99.87, and a little bit of a drop in yield on 10s. You know, I love to watch the 10s. 10-year treasuries fell to 193 on the yield.
Is that the one with Bo Derek and
No. These are the
sorry.
I watch bonds. Sorry.
Bond, James Bond?
No,
okay,
no.
Sorry.
Markets, that's bond markets.
Not even funny at all. So 10-year treasuries, the debt issued by our government to fund our glorious operations.
Back to 193.
Okay, so that's the yield if you buy them today.
That's exactly right. On the economic front, jobless claims on Thursday, as we always get, gained 21,000 to 377,000. Anything below 400,000 is, I think, relatively positive at this point from a mental standpoint. Economists had expected claims of 370,000. So
close enough.
A little bit above pace.
I've got homework
much
for you. I want you to find in the last 10, 15, 20 years, I want you to find the lowest monthly number of claims unemployment.
Lowest weekly or the lowest monthly?
Monthly.
Okay.
And find the highest. Because I want to give people some perspective on how wide this. We were saying, you know, there are this many people. These are first-time applicants, right?
Yes.
Okay, and then they go into this
pool. Not necessarily first-time, but new claims.
Claims.
They may have been unemployed years in the past,
okay,
but new claims.
So these
now
are new claims unemployment that will add to that 13 million unemployed.
Yes. Now, it can be people coming back into the participation rate.
Okay.
Could be. So it's not necessarily people who are losing jobs.
We're going to get a chart. We're going to put it up on the wall on here. We're going to keep track of this. 13 million, we added this many, we subtract this one, and keep it straight, and then tell all you listening about that and how it works, and stop with these percentages. They're giving me a headache.
Yeah. Also, economic news, new home sales posted a drop of 2.2% for December, first time in 4 months. It's seasonally adjusted. Here's the interesting part. Seasonally adjusted annual pace of new home sales, 307,000. Whether or not that's in line with expectations is irrelevant because it's a small difference. However, a healthy economy has an annual new home sales rate of about 700,000.
So it's half?
It's less than half at this point. So we're far off. Durable goods orders numbers on Thursday increased 3% in December, second straight monthly gain. So that's good news. And we have leading indicators today. Leading indicators are things that start to move in a direction before the economy does. There are coincident indicators that move about at the same time and lagging indicators. Today we had a number on leading indicators increase 0.4% to 94.3. That's a 5-month high in December. So some good news there. Still, you know, we're still seeing decent economic news. It's just moving so slow. It's glacial almost.
That's a pretty term. That reminds me of that story you told me about the investment,
the hedge fund,
the hedge fund that was investing in glaciers.
Yeah, they were investing in a glacier because it was a hedge fund, and a hedge fund can invest in anything. And they invested in this glacier because it was going to melt and they were going to bottle the water. But, of course, you can't value a glacier. So the guy that ran the hedge fund would come in and he'd say, today we're going to say the glacier's worth $3 billion. And then 2 weeks later he'd come in, today it's worth $8 billion. And him and his chief investment strategist both got arrested.
That's so bad.
You can't
that. Isn't that crazy? Ladies and gentlemen, that's just how crazy the investment world can be. And, you know, we are in this all the time, and we're working with it, dealing with it, up to our eyeballs in it, and we're still amazed sometimes some of the nonsense that goes on.
Yeah. Overseas, there really hasn't been much news except that the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, which they've been showing on TV all week, and I want to go there. It's nice.
Looks pretty.
Oh, gosh. It's all basically the CEOs and chief finance ministers and big investors and all that stuff. They're in Davos, Switzerland to just talk about the world economy. They're talking about Greece a little bit here and there, but we're starting to see a little bit more of an optimistic tone out of those folks.
Really?
Yes.
With regard to Greece or just the Eurozone or the way they're going to proceed and handle this?
I think mostly most of what we're seeing is a lot of talk about how, A, it's really not that bad, and B, if Greece just does go under, it's not going to be that big a deal. As a matter of fact, Jamie Dimon came out on Thursday, and he said the impact of a Greek default on his bank is zero.
Specifically, now, which bank is
zero.
That? Do you remember?
J.P. Morgan.
Okay.
He's the CEO of J.P. Morgan. Also, the CEO of Renault and Nissan is also at this thing in Davos, and he said, you know, things might shrink a little bit, but the possibility of Armageddon coming out of Europe is behind us. So they're
really encouraging.
Hearing more glass half full stuff than glass half empty stuff.
So the Greece is just a lemon in the water. I mean, it's not really going to wreck it like everybody was worried.
Yeah. Now it's only going to be a couple of months before we don't even say Greece anymore. We say Spain a lot, or we say Italy a lot, or we say Portugal a lot, whose 10 years are about 15% on the yield. So there's, you know, we're not all the way out of the woods, but the fear about Greece seems to really be kind of moving.
So it's priced in. Everybody expects them, and everybody's stepping up, saying, "Yeah, they're going to default." And the only question is, how well does it get handled? It doesn't sound like it's as much of a mess as everybody. I mean, what everybody seems to be talking about it in the news and the experts out there about it being just kind of a, you know, something that they work out, and really the people that are going to get hammered are the private investors.
Yeah, I think of it this way. You know, in 2008 when Lehman collapsed, nobody saw that coming because everybody thought, we'll save Lehman, no problem. But when that bank collapsed, it was a huge deal. Now, the fact is that banks collapse and they go under all the time, but they're not that big.
True.
And we see it coming. With Lehman, it was huge and we didn't see it coming. Greece is not that big and we see it coming.
Well, and the reality is that, you know, the smart investor isn't putting all their money into one thing.
Right.
And so hopefully the folks, banks, investment firms, institutional investors that bought Greek bonds didn't put all their money in Greece.
Yeah, and they have hedging. There are plenty of hedging strategies out there.
And
so,
I don't want to be a little too rough here, but if somebody put all their money into Greek bonds, then, well, guess what? This is what happens.
Yep, absolutely. Diversification.
All right. Stick around. We'll talk more about this and other fascinating financial topics after the break.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read will find you clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. That number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Now it's time for a breakdown from Finglish to English.
All right, we're back, and we're going to continue our discussion. This was a fun one we've been getting to here this week, and that is how to play the big what-ifs. The Wall Street Journal had an article, and I've been quizzing Scott on this, and we talked about what happens if Europe gets worse, and thankfully, it looks like it's going to get a little bit better. Things can only get better. That sounds good. What if housing doesn't, if it does finally improve? We talked about that. And we talked about the jobs faltering, the recovery faltering there. Now, the next one, and people are already starting to talk about it, is coming up in the fall will be another big, riveting, joyous budget breakdown. Speaking of breakdowns, right? The breakdown of our government and our legislative process. So what if there's another crisis? What about if there's another game of chicken? I say that they, you know, the Congress and the White House, they play one big fat game of chicken, but the problem is they're using our car.
Yeah.
And so I'm not sure I like that.
Well, I don't think there's any question that we will come to that impasse again unless there is some surprise in the elections that one party really wrests control. But as long as we have split government like this.
November 5th, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't see any way around another impasse like that. And remember, the last time we went through this was really kind of the final straw before S&P downgraded the credit. And it was right in the middle of when a lot of the uncertainty in Europe was compounded by the fact that we couldn't get our act together. And there was...
August, right?
Yeah, there was a statistical possibility that we could technically default on our bonds, which is, I mean, unheard of. So another situation like that certainly could have the same impact.
Hmm. Interesting. One of the things that people look at is say, well, if that's going to happen, what do I do? Just go to cash? Do I sit in cash? Do I go into all bonds? Do I load up on stock? And some of the knee-jerk reactions just go all cash. And I think that's probably an overreaction.
Yeah.
I think that this kind of stuff, we probably should stick to the plan.
Yeah.
And if we've got, you know, if you got, we're going to talk a little bit later in the show about having, you know, what you need to do to kind of get your financial house in order in terms of cash, emergency fund, having money that's invested for growth and money for income. But I don't think something like that should really upset or turn upside down your financial plan.
Well, I mean, look how quickly we have recovered from where we were in August. So
remarkable.
It's as we say all the time, if you have money that you need in the next 6 months, 18 months, 3 years, that money shouldn't be in the stock market anyway, and so really it wouldn't be affected by that. The longer term stuff, there's plenty of time to recover. We recovered in 5 months from the last one. So not to say that it's a non-event, but certainly you don't want to change your portfolio structurally because of things like that.
Okay. Well, that's always good to think about. And then what else we got going on in the news? I think you told me.
I saw a story that I wanted to tell you about. Which was your friend, your favorite politician, businessman turned politician, who pays a very low tax rate. Do you want to guess?
Is that George Soros?
It's not George Soros. It's your other favorite, Warren Buffett. There's an article on CNBC today that says, well, he must be paying his secretary an awful lot of money if she's in the 30% bracket.
Yeah, didn't they say in the article, I did see that, didn't they say something about... she must be getting paid like $200,000.
Yeah.
Well, I went to the website. You know, I love it because I feel like the politicians are making a monkey out of us.
Uh-huh.
So I went to moneychimp.com. Okay, there you go. And here's what I found. Another fun little statistic. In order for somebody, I don't know if she's single or married, his secretary. I said, well, if she's single and she's in the 20% federal income tax bracket, then she's making $125,000 a year. That's one heck of a secretary.
Yep, that's a good. Now I wonder if she, since they own net jets, I wonder if she has the employee perk of being able to fly on private jets. And
I don't know.
I would hope
it's a pretty sweet deal. So, you know, again, you and I both know that it's a mixing apples and oranges. And I, you know, it's funny. Our listeners are going, golly, move on, guys. Don't talk about Mr. Budget.
Yeah, the press
budget
is picking
anymore.
That stuff up, though. That's I think.
Well, yeah, it keeps coming back up, and. You know, I mean, really, no disrespect to Mr. Buffett. I think he's obviously an incredibly accomplished gentleman. Third wealthiest man on the planet. 81 years old. What a career. And, you know, everybody wants to be important. And maybe this is his way of trying to, and maybe he really wants to help sincerely. I would love to see him help by sitting down with Obama or whoever else will listen and work on ways to grow our country like he's grown all of his businesses, and to do that without raising the taxes on those people who take risk, who are investors, who are entrepreneurs, who are people that start businesses, pour their whole heart, soul, life, money, everything they got, put it on the line, risk everything to grow and build a business, because people don't grow businesses saying, all right, I want to grow this so I can pay gobs of taxes.
Right.
So I'd like to move on. And it's these statements that Mr. Buffett keeps making that are just, they're just absurd, because he's, and here's the thing, here's the problem that probably what really nags at me a little bit is he's not dumb. He's a really sharp guy. And so I know he knows the difference between income taxes, federal versus payroll taxes or state taxes. So that's why I find it, as the politicians would say, disingenuous.
Yeah.
That's what they say about each other when they think they're lying or stretching the truth.
Yeah, almost like he's dumbing it down because it's the easiest way to make his point.
So anyway, love to move on. I'll stop when they stop. How about that? I mean, come on. Let's move on. And just the continued America, the people listening to this show, the people that every day, you know, get up, work hard, do their thing, or who have been successful and have moved from being in the maybe the working for a salary where they're paying payroll taxes and they have that ordinary income. They've moved into a retirement where the money they have already paid tax on.
Right.
So then they get a lower capital gain or dividend. And that's the thing that seems to be not spoken about conveniently for the politicians who are trying to get their way, is that the reason capital gains and dividends taxes are lower is this is money that they've already paid tax on.
At least once, probably twice.
At least once, sometimes twice.
Yeah.
So that's why it's a lower rate. It's not because they have lobbyists to get what they want in terms of a tax cut or a tax reduction. So anyway, thank God Lisa's waving the 5-second thing at me. So I'll stop about this, but let's move on and we'll come back and we'll talk about some other very interesting stuff. Stick around.
What if the process of creating your financial plan was easy, hassle-free, and straightforward? What if it was conducted by a friendly professional and there was nothing expected of you in return? It almost sounds too good to be true, right? It's the way David Holland has been doing business at his firm, Holland Financial, for over 13 years. Since day one, it has been David's mission to provide individuals with practical solutions for their retirement needs. Financial planning doesn't have to be complicated or stressful. To learn more about our services, visit us at hollandfinancial.com or call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your complimentary consultation. That number again is 888-747-7526.
Should you stay or should you go? Should Scott stay? Stick around for a couple minutes, Scott, because I just thought of something really funny on the break. Okay, with all this call for, I want to see your tax returns. You didn't release them fast enough, and this is what you're supposed to do, and we want to see Romney's tax return, or we want to see this person's tax return so we can find things to beat them up about. What's her name? Warren Buffett's secretary? Oh, what I do with it? Here she is. Debbie Bosanek? Does that sound right?
Sure.
B-O-S-A-N-E-K. With this stratospheric tax rate, where's the release of her tax return? Somebody needs to call for it. I hope it answers more questions than it raises.
I was thinking about her. She probably really was
Poor
not
thing.
Looking for this onslaught of attention.
No. But look, her boss is a 50 billionaire, you know? Hey, here's a few extra bucks to put up for your trouble, because guess what? It's coming.
Well, she got a trip to D.C.,
okay. Didn't she sit with...
She sat with the First Lady.
Okay.
Yep. But I have seen a number of stories in the financial press about her today. Obviously, the financial press is somewhat rightward leaning, most of it. So there have been a lot of articles in there about, let's see her tax return and how much money does she make and things like that.
Well, I think that when you put somebody in that position, I think that you got to back it up. So anyway, all right, enough about that. Good grief. Okay, so Scott, you can get back to managing
all
those
right.
portfolios.
Terrific.
Okay, do
See
a good
tomorrow.
Job for our clients. I'm going to continue this segment talking about this new reality of investing and retirement. And, you know, we've talked on the show about the extension or lengthening of the period of time that the Federal Reserve has basically said, and those are the folks that control our money, set the monetary supply, the reserves for banks, and what the interest rates are charged from one bank to another, or what they will pay the bank for putting money on deposit. So they have a big influence on our economy. And so we all know it's been made very clear that they have no plans to to do things to raise interest rates anytime soon. So with that said, that's wonderful. And we talked about this the other day. That's wonderful for people wanting to borrow to get a house, a car, a boat, expand their business, all of those things. But I definitely want to talk about the flip side of that. And that is for those people who are either approaching retirement soon or already retired. It wasn't that long ago, ladies and gentlemen, that there were 5% CDs out there. And I know as if you're listening to this on in your car, at home, or over the internet, or however you're listening to this, you're all nodding your head saying, yes, I remember that. And if you look at where those CDs are today, a five-year CD, on average, Bankrate.com does an ongoing survey. And right now, Wall Street Journal reported that at about 1.5%, give or take, 1.5%. Well, simple math puts that interest that somebody would earn on a five-year CD at less than a third. So that is, you've seen, for somebody who is relying on interest from CDs or similar investment types for their retirement income or to supplement their income, they've had a over 67%, probably closer to 70% reduction in that income. So here's some real easy math. Let's say somebody had $100,000 in CDs and they were getting 5%. Math's easy. 5% on 100 grand is 5 grand a year. Divided by 12 is about $400 a month. Okay, if that's 1.5%, you've got $1,500. And now you divide that over 12. Now you got what, $120 or so? So you're going from 400 to 120. Wow. And of course, if somebody has a $500,000 CD portfolio, you know, these numbers really change. Now, the thing that's a bit frustrating, I know for you that are affected by this, and it certainly annoys me, is when you have these talking heads on TV that, you know, or in other media channels, and they say, oh, well, you know, yeah, that's true, but people just need to, and they say the same thing when the stock market goes down. You know, oh, you know, you just need to cut your expenses or just don't take so much money out. Well, that's very disconnected. That's very condescending, because most people who are doing that, who are getting this interest and they're retired, they are living on that money. So I have a strategy that I use a lot in working with my clients, and it's something that really is a foundation of how I approach figuring out what people need to do with their money. It works equally well for somebody who's already retired, but also for somebody who's getting closer to retirement. If you're 10 or more years away, this is something that you can still be thinking about. And it really takes the entire financial planning process that I use, which includes doing an analysis of people's money, investments, and where they are and what's working, what's not, and then building recommendations and building an overall plan. It takes all that and kind of boils it down to 5 steps. So the 5 steps, I'll give you them to you very quickly, and you can be thinking about this, and we'll spend more time on another show talking about it. But first step, and it's really about, where does your money need to go? First step, you need to establish your emergency fund. Before we do anything else, we need enough cash on hand so that if something really goes bad wrong, you know you've got that money you can get to. Number two, health insurance. If you're not retired, health insurance, making sure you've got that. That's where your money next goes. If you're retired and you've got Medicare, maybe you do a supplemental plan, but then you would allocate additional monies that you might have been spending on health insurance while you're working, put that toward long-term care. High percentage of people are going to need long-term care during their lifetime. You need to do that. Next up, debt. Now, not all debt necessarily, but any high-interest credit card debt. Now, notice cash reserve and dealing with getting health insurance came before debt. High-interest debt, 6-7% or more debt. Credit card debt, definitely. Try to pay that off as quickly as you can using your funds. Next up, allocate funds to produce income. If you're pre-retirement, you can be allocating money that you can flip the switch on. A lot of different ways of doing that. Flip the switch on later to get income. You can do that before you retire. You don't have to wait till you retire and say, oh, let me create income. You can create a plan for income 10 years out. And then last but not least, you need to have some monies. If you filled up those first 4 buckets, fifth bucket needs to be for growth, putting money into stocks, bonds, mutual funds, things like that. Other investments that will give you growth and give you a hedge against inflation. All right. When we come back, we have our 2-minute warning. Stay tuned.
Do you you ever think about the effects inflation will have on your retirement savings? Can you remember when gas was just $1 per gallon? Or when you could buy a house for less than what most cars sell for these days? Is it possible to keep pace with inflation and protect a portion of your portfolio from stock market volatility? A registered investment advisor can show you your options. Certified financial planner David Holland and his team of fee-based investment advisors are ready to help. Schedule your free consultation today by calling 888-747-PLAN. That number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit us at www.davidholland.com.
9 cents. That's it. 9 cents is all it takes to feed a person if you donate wisely. Have you ever been approached on the street or the side of the road by somebody asking for a couple of bucks and thought, where's my money going? Well, when you choose to donate to Halifax Urban Ministries, that same $2 can buy 20 meals and will be used to win the fight against homelessness. I am a proud supporter and I want to encourage you to put your money towards something real. Visit HalifaxUrbanMinistries.org to find out how you can help or call 386-252-0156. 386-252-0156.
With so many financial products and services available today, do you ever wonder what the best income strategy is for your situation? Call Holland Financial to receive a free educational DVD on retirement income strategies. Certified financial planner David Holland discusses some of the income planning strategies used by retirees and baby boomers. The DVD is available free of charge, hassle, or pressure by simply calling 888-747-PLAN. Again, that's 888-747-7526.
This is your 2-minute warning.
I've been wanting to get into this for over a week now. Social Security and divorce or widowed or widowers. A couple things that were really highlighted in a recent online Wall Street Journal article that I said, this is really good stuff. I wanted to, it prompted me to say, you know, I want to share this and talk about a couple key highlights. I get a lot of questions about Social Security planning as we do financial plans for our clients. And a couple of things that are very often misunderstood is, or not just not clear, people don't know what's going to happen, is when one of the spouses dies or if they are a previously married and it's time for them to draw Social Security and they're divorced now, whether or not the former spouse is alive or not, how that works. And so the Wall Street Journal did a good job of, you know, kind of hitting the highlights. So I want to share a little bit of that with you. Number one, when we talk about the eligibility for Social Security, let's say we've got somebody that is 62, 65, and they're ready to draw Social Security. And we'll use a woman just as an example. Let's say she's ready to draw Social Security. Well, she's got, if she is married, obviously she can look to her wages and what her benefit would be. And then, of course, her husband is going to draw his Social Security. Now, if her husband has passed, if he has died, then she can look at her own history for Social Security and what hers is going to be, or she can look at getting 100% of her spouse's if he has is deceased. Now, what's really interesting is if we're looking at a divorced person, if a woman is divorced and she is getting close to her own drawing Social Security, she can actually look at a former marriage. If they were married at least 10 years, they can look at a former marriage and use that Social Security benefit, even if they're, whether they're alive or not, she can use that benefit and doesn't take away from the other one. Keep in mind, Social Security can be an important part of your retirement. And so and it's not just take whatever there is. There are different things to look at in calculating that. Thanks for being with me listening to the show today. We'll see you next time.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.
You load 16 tons. What do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.